Chapter 5. Non-craving. You have enough. As soon as we realize that in this very moment we already have enough, and we already are enough, true happiness becomes possible. The art of happiness is the art of living deeply in the present moment. The here and now is the only time and place where life is available, and where we can find everything we are looking for, including love, freedom, peace, and well-being. Happiness is a habit. It's a training. With mindfulness, concentration, and insight, we can free ourselves from feelings of restlessness and craving and realize that right now, we already have more than enough conditions to be happy. This is the contemplation on non-craving. Practicing mindful breathing and coming back to ourselves to take care of our body throughout the day, we can free ourselves from our regrets about the past and worries about the future, and live deeply every moment, getting in touch with the wondrous, refreshing, and healing elements that are available inside and around us. Hooked. Contemplating non-craving is another way to practice the concentration on aimlessness. Each one of us has a big block of craving inside. We're always looking outside ourselves for something to make us feel satisfied and complete, whether it is food, sensual pleasures, money, a relationship, social status, or success. But so long as we have the energy of craving in us, we're never satisfied with what we have and with who we are right now, and true happiness is not possible. The energy of craving sucks us into the future. We lose all our peace and freedom in the present moment and feel we can't be happy until we've got what we're craving. But even if you do get the object of your craving, you never feel truly fulfilled. Like a dog chewing on a bare bone, no matter how many hours you gnaw at your craving, you never feel satisfied. You never feel that you have enough. Infatuation can become a kind of prison, preventing us from touching true happiness and freedom. We may spend our lives chasing after wealth, status, influence, and sensual pleasures, thinking they will improve the quality of our life. And yet we end up not having any time left to live. Our life becomes just a means to make money and become someone. The Buddha used the image of a fish biting on an attractive bait. The fish doesn't know that there's a hook hidden in the bait. It looks so delicious. But as soon as the fish bites, it gets hooked and caught. The same is true with us. We run after things that seem very desirable, like money, power, and sex, without realizing the danger in them. We destroy our body and mind chasing after these things, and yet still we continue chasing them. Just as there's a hook hidden in the bait, there is danger hidden in the object of our craving. Once we can see the hook, whatever it is we're craving simply won't be appealing anymore, and we'll be free. At first we think that if we let go of what we're craving, we'll lose a lot. But when you finally release it, you see that you have not lost anything after all. You're even richer than before because you have your freedom, and you have the present moment, just like the farmer who sold everything in order to buy the treasure in the field. Insight sets you free. Every one of us has insight. We know that the object of our craving isn't worth it. We know we don't want to get hooked. We know we don't want to spend all our time and energy on it, and yet we can't let go. This is because we don't know how to apply our insight. We need to take time to stop and reflect deeply on our situation to identify what it is we're craving. And then we have to identify the hook. What is the danger? What is the suffering hidden in it? We've got to see all the ways in which running after and craving these things has made us suffer. Every desire has its root in our original, fundamental desire to survive. In Buddhism, we don't speak of original sin. We speak of that original fear and desire that manifested in us during our birth and in the precarious moment we took our first painful breath. Our mother could no longer breathe for us. It was difficult to inhale. We first had to expel water from our lungs. But if we couldn't breathe on our own, we would die. We made it. We were born. And with that birth, our fear of dying was born along with the desire to survive. And as infants, that fear stayed with us. We knew that in order to survive, we had to get someone to take care of us. We may have felt powerless, and we found all sorts of ways to figure out how to get someone else to protect us, take care of us, and ensure our survival. Even though we've grown into adults, our original fear and desire are still alive. We fear being alone or abandoned. We fear getting old. We crave connection and someone to take care of us. If we work non-stop, it may be because of our original fear that otherwise we cannot survive. And our own fear and desire may come from our ancestors' original fear and desire. They suffered from hunger, wars, exile, and so on, and over thousands of years have endured countless difficulties where survival was touch and go. When fear, craving, or desire comes up, we need to be able to recognize it with mindfulness and smile to it with compassion. Hello, fear. Hello, craving. Hello, little child. Hello, ancestors. Following our breathing, and in the safe island of the present moment, we transmit the energy of stability, compassion, and non-fear to our inner child and our ancestors. Mindfulness can only help reduce our stress and tension if it provides us with insight. Meditation isn't just a temporary place of refuge to help you stop suffering for a while. It's much more than that. Your spiritual practice has the power to transform the roots of your suffering and transform the way you live your daily life. It is insight that helps us calm our restlessness, stress, and craving. Perhaps we can start to speak of insight-based stress reduction. You are free to be yourself. There's a funny story about something that happened many years ago in a psychiatric hospital in Vietnam. A patient there was very afraid of the chickens that roamed freely in the hospital yard. Every time he saw a chicken, he ran away. One day the nurse asked him, "Why do you keep doing that?" The young man explained that he thought he was a seed of corn, and he was afraid the chickens would eat him. So the doctor summoned him to his office and said, "Young man, you are a human being. You are not a grain of corn. Look, you have eyes, a nose, a tongue, a body, just like me. You're not a grain of corn, you're a human being." And the young man agreed. So the doctor asked him to write down repeatedly on a sheet of paper, "I'm a human being, I'm not a grain of corn." The young man filled up many sheets of paper with these lines. It seemed he was making a lot of progress. Every time the nurse came to ask him, "Who are you? What are you?" he'd always say, "I am a human being. I'm not a grain of corn." The doctors and nurses were very happy. They gave him a final appointment with the doctor before he was to be discharged. As he was walking to the doctor's office for that appointment, he saw a chicken. And he ran away, very fast. The nurse had a hard time catching up with him. Finally, she reached him and said, exasperated, "What are you doing? Why did you run away? You've been doing so well. You know you're a human being. You know you're not a grain of corn." The young man answered, "Yes, I know very well that I'm a human being and not a grain of corn, but the chicken doesn't know that." Many of us do things only for the sake of form. We do things not because we believe it's important, but because we think others think it's important. We may even chant or pray or invoke the Buddha's name because we think it matters to the Buddha, but not because it's meaningful for us. The same is true with chasing after signs of success, wealth, or status. We may do it not because we think it's important, but because we think others expect it of us. But when we truly see the cost of these pursuits and the hook in them, we don't want to keep running after them anymore. We make use of the insight that we are already enough. We don't have anything to prove. True happiness. Our quality of life and true happiness does not depend on external conditions or external proof. It doesn't depend on how much money we have, or what kind of job or car or house. In Plum Village, none of the monks or nuns has a personal bank account or credit card or salary. And yet we live very happily. By North American standards, we are not normal at all. But we are very happy to live simply and have a chance to help others and serve the world. True happiness depends on our capacity to cultivate compassion and understanding and bring nourishment and healing to ourselves and our loved ones. All of us need to love and be loved. In our relationships, we may look for someone who symbolizes what is good, true, and beautiful to fill up our own feeling of lack. The person you fall in love with soon becomes the object of your craving. But sexual desire is not the same as love, and sexual relations motivated by craving can never dissipate the feeling of loneliness, but only create more suffering and isolation. If you want to heal your loneliness, you first have to learn how to heal yourself, be there for yourself, and cultivate your own inner garden of love, acceptance, and understanding. Once you have cultivated love and understanding in yourself, you have something to offer the other person. But so long as we don't yet love or understand ourselves, how can we blame others for not loving us or not understanding us? Freedom, peace, love, and understanding are not things we can obtain from the outside. They are something already available within us. Our practice is to do everything we can in order to bring love, understanding, freedom, and fearlessness to light by looking deeply into ourselves and by listening to ourselves. Instead of running after the objects of our craving or making our loved ones an object of our craving, we should spend the time we have cultivating true love and understanding in our hearts. A true friend is someone who offers peace and happiness. If you're a true friend to yourself, you are able to offer yourself the true peace and happiness you seek. I once was asked to write a letter of encouragement to a prisoner named Daniel, who was on death row in Jackson, Georgia, in the United States. He was 19 when he committed his crime, and had spent 13 years, his entire adulthood, behind bars. I was asked if I could offer him some words of comfort, since the time of his execution was drawing near, and so I sent him a little note. I wrote, "Many people around you have a lot of anger, hate, and despair, which prevents them from getting in touch with the fresh air, the blue sky, or the fragrance of a rose. They are in a kind of prison. But if you practice compassion, if you can see the suffering in the people around you, and if you try to do something to help them suffer less every day, then you will be free. One day with compassion is worth more than 100 days without it. The number of days we have to live is not so important. What matters is how we live them." Restlessness. We all know the feeling of being restless. It is the opposite of feeling at ease and comfortable in ourselves. It's a kind of mental excitement. We cannot be still. We do everything in a hurry, rushing from one thing to the next. Wherever we are, we always think we should be somewhere else. We're even restless in our sleep. No position of the body feels comfortable. We're longing for something and craving something, but we don't know what it is. We open the refrigerator. We check our phone. We pick up a newspaper. We listen to the news. We do everything we can to forget the feeling of loneliness and suffering inside. Each one of us needs to reconnect with ourselves, with our loved ones, and with the earth. We may take refuge in our work, not because we need the money or because we really want to do it, but because our work distracts us from the painful feelings deep inside. We're rewarded by a sense of achievement in our work, and before we know it, we get addicted to our work. Maybe we turn to films, TV series, the internet, or computer games, or we listen to music for hours on end. We think these things make us feel better, but as soon as we turn them off, we feel just as bad, if not worse, than we did before. It has become a habit to reach for the phone or computer and immerse ourselves in another world. We do it to survive. But we want to do more than just survive. We want to live. It is helpful to look honestly at your habit energy. When you turn on the TV, are you sure the program is worth watching? When you reach for some food, is it because you are hungry? What are you running away from? What is it you are really hungry for? The energy of mindfulness, our spiritual practice body, helps us identify what kind of feeling is coming up and pushing us to run away. Solidly rooted in our mindful breathing, we realize we don't need to run away. We don't need to suppress our painful feelings. We see clearly what is going on inside and take the chance to stop, embrace our feelings, and start to truly take care of ourselves. It is possible to learn to sit in peace, breathe in peace, and walk in peace. To be at peace is an art we cultivate with our daily mindfulness practice. We reconnect with the earth and our cosmic body, which is present in us, supporting us in every moment. We all need deep healing at the roots. Every time we come back to our body with mindful breathing, we put an end to our feelings of isolation and alienation, and we have a chance to heal ourselves completely. Practice. The art of relaxation. In the middle of a difficult day, or as soon as you get home, it is possible to create a moment of peace, freedom, and happiness simply by taking a few minutes to come home to your body and relax. This may be something you'd like to try right now. You need only 10 to 15 minutes. Find a quiet place where you won't be disturbed. Arrange things so your body is in a comfortable position, either sitting or lying down. And then begin to bring your awareness to your whole body. You may like to read one paragraph of the following guidance at a time and practice it as you go along. Or you can practice with a friend and read the guidance out loud for each other. First, bring your attention 100% to your breathing, becoming aware of your in-breath as it enters the body and your abdomen rises, and becoming aware of the out-breath as it leaves the body and your abdomen falls. You enjoy following the in-breath and out-breath all the way in and all the way out of your body. You can silently say to yourself the words rising and falling to help keep your mind focused entirely on your breathing at the level of your abdomen. Following your breathing, you free yourself from your worries and restlessness, and already your body can begin to rest. We need to train ourselves to keep coming back to our breath and our body. Every time we reunite body and mind, we are reconciling with ourselves. As you breathe in, become aware of your whole body in whatever position it is. As you breathe out, smile to your whole body. It should be a real smile. You may already notice some resistance or tension in your shoulders, chest, arms, or hands. Gently move the body to stretch and release the tension. Still following the breathing, move your head from side to side to relax the neck or gently stretch your back. You can release any tension that may be there in the chest or abdomen, arms, or hands. Allow every part of your body to completely relax. Breathing in, you feel calm. Breathing out, you feel ease. Smile, and allow all the muscles on your face to relax. Gently release the tension from the dozens of muscles in your face. Start to feel all the areas of your body that are in contact with the floor or the chair. Your feet, your heels, the backs of your legs, your bottom, your back, your arms, your legs, your shoulders, and your head. Breathing out, let go of all tension and allow the earth to receive the whole weight of your body. Listen to your body. Embrace your body with loving kindness, compassion, and care. Send love and healing energy to all your organs and thank them for being there and working in harmony. Send love and gratitude to all the parts of your body. Smile to every cell. Reconnect with your body. Reconcile. My dear body, I'm sorry I've let you down. I've pushed you too hard. I've been neglecting you. I have allowed stress, tension, and pain to accumulate. Now please allow yourself to rest and relax. Smile to yourself. Smile to your body. Become aware that the blue sky, white clouds, and stars are above you and all around you. The earth is holding you in her tender embrace. You are in a state of total rest. You have nothing to do and nowhere to run to. Everything you need is right here in this moment, and you smile. Relaxation brings happiness to both your body and your mind. After 10 to 15 minutes of practicing in this way, you will feel rested, refreshed, and ready to continue your day. Mindfulness is a source of happiness. Are you happy? Are you living a fulfilled life? If you can't touch happiness now, when can you be happy? Happiness is not something you can postpone to the future. You have to challenge yourself to be happy right here and now. If you want to have peace, joy, and happiness, it's only possible to find it in the present moment. With mindfulness, we can learn the art of transforming any moment into a happy moment, a legendary moment. It is the art of arriving in the present moment to recognize all the conditions of happiness we already have. And it is at the same time the art of transforming our suffering. The two go together. Recognizing our conditions of happiness and cultivating moments of happiness help us handle and embrace our suffering. Watering our seeds of joy and well-being helps our suffering transform. Whether this moment is happy or not depends on you. It's you who makes the moment happy, not the moment that makes you happy. With mindfulness, concentration, and insight, any moment can become a happy moment. Your quality of life depends on your awareness of all the conditions of happiness that are available to you now. You are alive. You have legs to walk. You have two wonderful eyes. You simply need to open them to enjoy the paradise of colors and forms all around you. Oysters at the bottom of the sea have never seen the bright blue of the sky in daylight or the majesty of the stars at night. They have never seen the ocean waves or heard the sound of the wind or song of the birds. And yet these wonders are available to us. Are you available to them? Mindfulness helps us to arrive in the here and the now and recognize the wonders of life that are right there, within us and around us. Happiness is not something that arrives in a package in the mail. Happiness does not fall out of the sky. Happiness is something we generate with mindfulness. You may like to take a piece of paper and sit somewhere quietly, perhaps in a park, under a tree, or in your favorite spot, and write down all the conditions of happiness you already have. You will soon discover that one page is not enough. Even two, three, or four pages are not enough. You may begin to realize you are much luckier than many people. You already have more than enough conditions to be happy, and gratitude and joy naturally arise. Living happily here and now. At the time of the Buddha, there was a successful and generous businessman called Anathapindika. He was very loved by his people, and they gave him the name Anathapindika, meaning the one who helps the destitute. One day, Anathapindika brought several hundred businessmen to hear the Buddha teach. The Buddha taught them that it is possible to live happily right in the here and now. Perhaps he was aware that many business people have a tendency to think a bit too much about success in the future. In his teaching, the Buddha used the expression, living happily in the present moment, 5 times. He emphasized that we don't have to wait for more conditions of happiness in the future. We don't have to look for success in order to be happy. Life is available only in the present moment, and we already have more than enough conditions to be happy. We can train ourselves to keep bringing our attention back to everything that is going well in the present moment. The art of dwelling happily in the present moment is the practice most needed in our time. Being number one. Many of us want to be successful. We want to be good in our field. We want to be number one. We tend to think we can be happy only if we're number one. But if you want to be number one, you have to devote all your time and energy to your work. You end up sacrificing quality time with family and friends, and you end up sacrificing time with yourself. Often you even sacrifice your health. In striving to be number one, you end up sacrificing your happiness. What is the point of being number one if you're not happy? You have to make a choice. Do you want to be number one, or do you want to be happy? You may become a victim of your success, but you can never become a victim of your happiness. When you pursue the path of happiness, you are much more likely to be successful in your work. If you are happier and have more inner peace, your work tends to be better. But you have to make happiness your priority. Once we can accept ourselves as we are, we allow ourselves to be happy. You don't need to become anything or anyone else, just as a rose doesn't need to become a lotus in order to be happy. As a rose, it is already beautiful. You are wonderful just as you are. Every moment is a diamond. One winter morning in Plum Village, I was in my hut getting ready to give a talk. I had 10 minutes before the talk was due to start in the meditation hall. Whether 10 minutes is a lot or a little depends on how we live them. I put on my long robe, and I went into the bathroom to refresh my face. I opened the faucet a little so that only a few drops came out, one by one. As the icy water trickled out, it was as though drops of melted snow were falling into my hand. They were so fresh and cool they woke me up. I lifted up the drops and enjoyed their coolness and freshness on my face. They were like drops of snow from distant Himalayan peaks that had made a long journey of thousands of miles to reach my hut in the woods. And now they landed on my cheeks, my forehead, my eyes. I saw the snow-capped mountain peaks so clearly. Recognizing the presence of the snowflakes in the water, I smiled. I wasn't thinking about the talk I had to give in a few minutes. I wasn't thinking about anything in the future. I was just dwelling happily in the present moment, experiencing these drops of snow landing gently on my face. I was all alone in the hut, but I smiled. It wasn't a polite smile. No one was there to see it. I put on my coat and stepped out of the hut to walk to the meditation hall, and I marveled at the sparkling drops of dew on the grass. With every step I took, I was aware that the drops of dew were no different from the drops of snow that I had just put on my face. Wherever we go, we can encounter Himalayan snowflakes. Whatever we are doing, whether we are washing our face, walking through dewdrops in the morning mist, or looking up at the sky and clouds, we can see the mountain snow is always within us and around us. We know that about 70% of our body is water. Actually, it is 70% snow. We all need a spiritual dimension to our life. With mindfulness, we can see the poetry and beauty all around us. We can see the miracles of life. We get deeply in touch with our cosmic body. Every second, every minute, every hour becomes a diamond. Time is life. When you wake up in the morning, you can choose how you want to start your day. I recommend you start the day smiling. Why smile? Because you are alive, and you have 24 brand new hours ahead of you. The new day is a gift of life offered to you. Celebrate it, and vow to live it deeply. Vow not to waste it. Every day is filled with equally miraculous acts. We walk, we breathe, we eat our breakfast and use the bathroom. The art of living is knowing how to generate happiness at any time. No one else can create happiness for us. We have to create it ourselves. With mindfulness and gratitude, we can be happy right away. When you brush your teeth, you can choose to do it in mindfulness. You just focus your attention on brushing your teeth. You may have 2 or 3 minutes to brush your teeth, and it's possible to transform those 2 or 3 minutes into minutes of happiness and freedom. The time of brushing your teeth is not lost time. It is also life. Don't just do it to get it done. Enjoy being mindful and concentrate on the act of toothbrushing. This is the art of living. You don't need to think of anything else. You don't need to hurry. Just relax and enjoy brushing your teeth. When you do this, you encounter yourself and you encounter life deeply in the present moment. When I brush my teeth, I enjoy the fact that even at my age, I still have teeth to brush. Being aware of this is already enough to make me happy. Each one of us can brush our teeth in such a way that makes us happy. And when we go to the toilet, it is also possible to enjoy that time. We are part of the river of life, and we return to the earth what she has given us. Mindfulness transforms even the most mundane of actions into sacred actions. Any moment can become a meaningful moment where we encounter life deeply, whether we're washing the dishes, washing our hands, or walking to the bus stop. When you eat, you can cherish every single moment. Mindfulness, concentration, and insight will tell you that this moment of eating is exceptional. It is wonderful to have food to eat. Every piece of bread and every grain of rice is a gift of the whole cosmos. Usually we eat without being aware of what we're eating because our mind is not present. We are absent-minded, the very opposite of being mindful. Often we are not eating our food. We are eating our worries and our projects. Put your thinking aside while you eat and just try to be fully present to taste and enjoy the food and the people around you. Switch off the TV or radio. Put aside your phone, the newspaper, or anything else that might distract you. Eating like this, you're not just nourished by the food. You're also nourished by the peace, happiness, and freedom you have while eating. A path of discovery. When you are facing a great challenge or difficulty in your life, it may not be easy to get in touch with these simple joys. You may find yourself wondering, what is the meaning of it all? You may ask this when you're sick, or when a loved one is sick or passing away, or when you are overwhelmed by despair and life seems to have lost all its meaning. There's always something we can do to nourish our happiness and take care of ourselves. Even if, in a given moment, we cannot touch deep well-being, perhaps we can increase our happiness by just 5 or 10%. That is already something. To meditate is not only to discover the meaning of life, but also to heal and nourish ourselves. As we do so, we have a chance to keep releasing our ideas about what the meaning of life is or isn't. As we nourish and heal ourselves, our understanding of the meaning of life will deepen day by day. There is a positive mental formation called ease, a relaxed state of peacefulness and tranquility, like the still water in a calm mountain lake. We cannot be happy, we cannot nourish and heal ourselves unless we are at ease. The peace of feeling at ease is the most precious thing there is, more precious than any other pursuit. We all have the capacity to be calm and at ease. But if we haven't been cultivating it, our energy of ease may not yet be very strong. Can you identify those moments when you feel truly at ease? Can you create more of them in your life? It is possible to breathe in such a way that our in-breath and out-breath are pleasant and peaceful. When we feel joyful, happy, and peaceful as we breathe, we are able to stop running and arrive in the present moment. Healing naturally takes place. But if while breathing we're still trying to attain something, even if that thing is good health or self-control, we haven't yet stopped running. We can allow ourselves to have peace, to be at peace. Practice. The art of sitting. There is an art to helping your body sit still in such a way that you can feel relaxed and at ease. It may take some training, but it is possible. You do have the capacity to experience stillness. You do have the capacity to touch peace. Each one of us has a Buddha body. We just need to give the Buddha in us a chance. For many of us, when we sit still, we're so restless that it feels as though we're sitting on burning coals. But with some practice, we'll be able to skillfully tame our restless body and mind and sit in peace. As soon as there is ease and relaxation, there is healing and well-being. And wherever we sit, it's as though we're sitting outside on fresh grass in a beautiful spring breeze. Why do I practice sitting meditation? Because I like it. There's no point doing it if you don't enjoy it. It's not hard labor. Every breath can bring peace, happiness, and freedom. Just sitting down and doing nothing is an art. It's the art of non-doing. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to struggle with yourself in order to sit. You don't have to make an effort to be peaceful. Paying attention to the breathing going on is like the sun shining on a flower. The sunshine doesn't try to impose itself on the flower or try to alter the flower in any way. The warmth and energy of the sun penetrates the flower naturally. You can just sit there and enjoy breathing in and breathing out. You may like to adjust your posture a little, so your back is straight, your legs comfortable, and your shoulders open and relaxed to give enough space for your lungs. Sitting like this allows the breathing to flow naturally and allows our body to relax completely. With relaxation comes healing. Deep healing is not possible without relaxation. You need to learn how to be completely at ease, how to do nothing. Sitting meditation is an act of civilization. These days we are so busy, we don't even have time to breathe. To take a moment to sit in stillness and cultivate peace, joy, and compassion, that is civilization. It is priceless. You simply sit there, not doing anything. You are happy to be aware that you are sitting on a very beautiful planet, revolving in a galaxy of stars. You are sitting in the lap of the Earth, and over your head there are trillions of stars. If you can sit and see that, what else do you need to sit for? You are in touch with the universe, and your happiness is immense.